Well, good morning.
Morning.
It is good to see all of you this morning. How many of you have ever been gone, say, for a week or two better, and you get back and you say, hey, did you guys miss me? And they're like, well, didn't even know you were gone. So I got back this morning after being gone for a couple of weeks and just said, hey, I missed all of you guys this morning. So it is nice being back. I know a lot of you have been traveling out and about this summer. I've done a lot of vacations and trips, so it's glad that this side of the sanctuary is back, while this side is still kind of out and about traveling, it looks like. But in all honesty, in all fun this morning, it is good to be back. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It looks like we do have some visitors out there this morning. We do want to say welcome and good morning to you. Please make yourselves at home this morning. Inside your bulletin, you'll find a little guest registration sheet. If you fill that out, slip it in the offering plate out on the Welcome Center. We also have a guest book if you have time to, either before or following service today. Get out there, fill that out. That way we can get to know you a little bit better this morning. So, I do have some announcements that I'm going to briefly touch on. One that's not in the bulletin this morning is the first Sunday of the month. That means it is indeed Blood Pressure Sunday. Stella will be taking blood pressures for anyone that wants to have that checked this morning in her classroom directly following service this morning. Then tonight, reminder, tonight is small groups. So if you are a small group leader or host, make certain that your members know about your meeting time for this evening. There will be regular church here for those of you that are not in a small group. Also, if you have a church board report, those are due in by this evening. Tuesday night, it's a late one, 9:45. That means that you have the first half of your evening to get all your running around and your dinner done. And then by 9:45, you don't have anything to do. Why go to bed? How about come out to the Ozark Park and watch your men play some softball? Hopefully, if it doesn't rain, we'll be playing at 9:45 this Tuesday evening. Then, of course, Wednesday we have our regular scheduled Bible study. Teens and children will be meeting. And choir practice, no choir practice this Wednesday, however. That's all the announcements I have. Cody is going to come up and announce a few things about the upcoming carnival. I know that there are some sign-out sheets out on the credenza for some giveaway baskets. Here in a little bit, directly following church, there'll be some sign-up sheets for some of the different workstations, but Cody will touch on that.
Hey, Ben, we're giving all choir members free passes to Bible study.
Hey, if you are normally in choir and there's not choir this Wednesday, Pastor says he will let you come to Bible study.
For free.
For free. So 6:30 this Wednesday evening.
All right, real quick. We're about 2 weeks out from the carnival, and some people have asked how come we haven't had any meetings, and that's because I've had a pretty overwhelming response that we have a lot of meetings here, and we don't need to have meetings all the time. We do need to have a meeting next Sunday, and I promise you it will be short and sweet, as in it's informational only. If you have a question, come ask me, because I'm not going to take a lot of questions at the meetings. I'm going to try to respect your time and get you guys out of here for lunch very quickly. I just need, if you are the head of an area and I have talked to you, I just need to meet with you real quick. Most of you have done this before. It's not the first go around, and so we know what we're doing. But I just want to touch base to meet with everybody as a group so we can do that one time before we actually have the carnival. There is a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer for the gift baskets. You can bring that stuff in. There is a blue tub out there that you can drop your items in. Heather's in charge of putting those gift baskets together. There will also be a sign-up sheet today. I have waited because I've had many people come and say, I want to do this and I want to do that. I have a certain number of areas allotted for each. That doesn't make sense. Area. So, like, I only need 3 or 4 people manning the grill. I don't need 7 because then it just becomes overwhelming. And Pat's heading up the grilling, and I've got some people who need help with inflatables. So it's kind of first come, first serve when you sign up. I know that you might be doing something you didn't particularly want to do to begin with, but I'll work with you. But we have a lot of areas that need coverage, such as parking, working with the inflatables. We've got the games covered. We've got the DJ covered. a lot of different things. And just keep in mind that this is a service that we are doing for our community as an outreach. I think there will be a sign-up sheet, or if you are interested in doing stuff for the cakewalk, you can talk to Valerie. She's going to need donations for that. We do not need any more donations for the soda, for the ring toss. We have that taken care of. You guys have been great. It has been awesome. I'm ready to honestly get this thing going and kind of get a move on it. So next Sunday, immediately following church, we'll meet in the fellowship hall, and I promise you it will not be long-winded or anything. It'll be informational only. And if you have questions after that, you can hit me up, but we'll just get some information out there and then get you guys out to lunch. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, Cody. It's hard to think that this is actually going to be our seventh year of doing the carnival, which is pretty awesome. It's something that the community is starting to recognize, starting to be familiar with, and something that they look forward to this fall. So that's pretty awesome. That's the 17th of August, so it's just right around the corner, like Cody said. Be in prayer that we have a great turnout. We have great weather. I know we've got great help with you all. Lots of donations are already pouring in. Check out those sign-up sheets that are out there. See if there's anything that you might be able to help contribute. The 17th is right around the corner. That'll be from noon to 3 p.m. here at the church. Then also on the 24th of this month is our annual fish fry that will be out at Pat and Carolyn's house. I've already heard of some of the different types of fish that's going to be available. It's going to be fried, but I heard tell that there's going to be a lot of different varieties this year. You'll just have to come check it out. There's always enough to usually take home a little doggy bag. I know there has been in the past. So that is the 24th. And then this coming Sunday from 3 to 7 is movie and munchies for the kids. So here at the church, the children's department will be putting on a movie, and they'll also have some snacks. That'll be from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock next Sunday. So that's all the announcements we have. I'm sure that there is someone that you have not had a chance to say hello to yet this morning. So if you would stand, find someone you haven't had that chance to yet this morning, and greet one another.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I've been asking around the last couple of weeks, who's ready to go back to school? And I think I only see adult hands. Of course, I know the kids are upstairs, but I have not gotten anybody's response from a child that they are ready to go back. So I feel for them. I remember those days, too. But I wanted us to kind of think about something different today. If you've been watching the news the last few years, you probably know a little bit about some of this, but more than two years ago, Syria entered into civil war and all kinds of problems, and numbers and numbers of people have left Syria and traveled into other countries, and they've gone into Lebanon and Jordan and so forth, and more than 4 million people have been displaced within Syria itself, besides those who have left. And the problem is they have lots of children who are behind in school now. They've got children that have not been to school, some kids for a year. So they're behind educationally wise, they're behind even socially wise, and having some real issues. The Nazarenes in all three of these countries have reached out to support the Syrian families that have come in there, and they're doing best that they can under the situation that they're in. So some of the families don't even have jobs, can't even locate jobs. One of our Nazarene Compassionate Ministry coordinators said that there was a family that they were collecting plastic and aluminum and making about $3 a day. American money. So, you know, it's just a really devastating situation for all of them. There are 9 Nazarene churches in the area that are currently ministering to nearly 3,000 families in need. And this crisis has left many children with their education in a turmoil, not knowing if they're going to be able to go to school. A lot of their schools over there they have to pay for. They're not blessed with the free education like we have here in the United States that we take for granted. So there's lots of things like that. A lot of the families have fled because they've been in dangerous areas and dangerous situations. So the kids are traumatized when they get to these new countries. And so there's lots of things to deal with there besides just the fact that they aren't being educated. Parents have a real fear that their kids won't be going back to school, just because of the situation. Right now there's no end, they see no end to what's going on. So the Church of the Nazarene runs 4 schools in Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, and these schools are neighborhood schools where Syrian refugees and internally displaced people are struggling to survive. And they are planning on having that school again this year. And many of these kids need our prayers. They need us to be remembering them, that God will direct their lives and help them in their education and being able to move on to become prosperous adults. They're in situations that they have no control of. The things that they are facing is not their fault. And let's remember the Syrian children and families that are displaced all around the country, and the things that they're going on. As you think of kids going back to school, or you walk through the store and you see school supplies and you start to see school buses coming through, that's a good time to remember these countries where education is not as available to other kids. The other thing I do want to mention are Christmas boxes, and I mentioned this last week, but this is a good time to buy crayons and pencils and that sort of thing if you want to include it in a school box. If you want to just donate items and drop it in the big box out there, we'll make up the boxes later. If you're wanting to make your own box, collect up on that kind of stuff and be able to fill your box a little bit cheaper instead of waiting till later when things are more expensive.
Thank you, Jennifer. We'd like to invite our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
thank you once again, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of returning unto you what you have given to each one of us through our work, the ability to work. Thank you for that. Thank you for your many blessings as we return unto you. Amen.
Spirit, teach me, dear Lord. Let's read in unison. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's grace. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
Oh, go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we remind you that these altars are open to you. This is a time in our service where if you just need a special place to lay down your burdens or to lift up your praise, why, you're welcome to come and find a place at these altars and just to kneel during this time and give those things to the Lord and just have a private time with Him. We want to say thanks to those folks who again went out yesterday. In the last two Saturdays now, we have distributed address curb labels to 300 homes and been able to also share information about the Faith Family and Fun Day. And that'll be coming up on the 17th. And we were greeted with all kinds of various greetings and salutations along the way. But we thank those who helped us to accomplish that. Thanks to Brother Troy and the Vision Committee, as this has been one of the outreach projects, and we hope to continue that into the future. Many people are very appreciative, and we hope that indeed that it just puts a good taste in their mouth for God and for His body, the church. And so thanks for all of that. There is a newspaper article that's posted out on the bulletin board that was written in the Express in regard to all that's coming up. If you want to see that, we appreciate them giving us that that coverage. And we just pray. But would you pray that those address plates, when people look at them, whether they ever get them mounted or not, and we've told them we would come back and install them for them if they need us to. The numbers are on the back. But would you just pray that as they see that they'll be reminded that God cares about them? Not so much about Nixa Church of the Nazarene. That's great. If they want to come, we'd love to have them. The bottom line is to know that God's people reach out and that God cares about them and their lives, and that any of the churches that are around our community can help them if they would want to go and be a part of that. And then we just trust that you'll be covering the Faith, Family, and Fun Day with your prayers as we lead into that. That's an opportunity for us, again, just to reach out with Christ's love to our community and to pray that you would just ask God to particularly bless, to have good weather and things, as Brother Ben has already mentioned. And so just be praying for that special event that's coming up very quickly. A couple of things that we want to share with you this morning. I just talked to Alan Wood over the phone this morning, and good to see Debbie back this morning. But Sister Joanna had a couple of rough days early in the week, and indeed was having a tough day today. So I think you've been coming and going a lot, but I think most of you are aware now that Sister Joanna has stopped treatment. And basically now it's the things are in the Lord's hands as to what happens there. And then it's been so great to have Max and Sue back with us these last two Sundays. And they were at the doctor this week and received an updated report. And indeed, Max now is kind of in the same situation as Joanna. They have stopped all treatment. And the areas where the cancer was located indeed has grown, enlarged. These folks are on the Lord's time, and the truth of the matter is, most of us from day one, that's the time we're on anyway. But you know, sometimes these kinds of reports, when we may have had other plans or other anticipations of things, but both of these folks have really great spirits and great attitudes and intend to live every day to the fullest that God gives them. And Max is already making plans out about 3 years from now. Anyway, it's great. You know, they tell us a lot of times in the hospitals, it's the frame of mind that people have. Sometimes it's a great part of the healing process. And so pray for God to continue to encourage these individuals. And Brother Ed got a good report this week from his doctor. And so we praise the Lord for that and for his continued strength and healing. And we just continue to pray for these various ones. Randy continues to do better. They're beginning to, I don't know if I like him doing that much better because now he's going to travel. But he and Lynn's just recently retired, and they're going to be going over these next few weeks kind of in and out and visiting some of the congregations that they pastored. And so that's exciting for them. I'm happy for them to be able to do that. We'll miss you when you're gone, but we're glad when you're here. So you pray for them as they're traveling. Others are coming and going over these last few weeks of the summer. And would you remember, there's something on Tuesday. Somebody's going to lighten their load, I think. Jenna is going to have a cesarean, I think, on Tuesday. And so we'll have a new baby. So you pray for their family. And we appreciate, we want our drummer to stay calm. You know, everything will be okay. And we appreciate Matt and Jenna and Avery. So glad to have Matt's folks with us today. It's great to have them in church with us. And just glad for all of you to be here. And so we want to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to sing. If you have need of the altars, you feel free to come and use them this morning, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Lord, we
have one other thing that I would share with you. Jennifer and I will be kind of hit and miss this week. We're not sure what's going on, but her brother and his family will be in from France. First time all together in 6 years since we've seen them, and so we'll be hoping to get to spend some time with them. And so you pray for them. They travel in from France. She has family in Nashville. His family is here in Ava. And so just be praying for them as they're trying to cram a lot of things into a small amount of time and trying to see family and friends. And we appreciate your prayers for them so very, very much. And we're so glad that you're here today. Let's go to the Lord together. Father, we are so thankful to know with absolute confidence that you love us. And I was reminded in reading my devotion this past week of a passage of Scripture where Jesus, when he was at the graveside of Lazarus, said, Lord, I thank you. And he said, I don't say this because I need to, but because I want the people to hear and know that I know you always hear me. And Lord, over the last 35 years, I've had a lot of people who come through my office and said, I pray, but I don't think God hears me. But Lord, I am standing here behind this sacred desk this morning to say without a shadow of a doubt, I know that when we speak to you, that you are listening and that you hear us. Lord, we don't always understand your timing or your methodology, but if we have the assurance of anything, it is in your word that you never leave us or forsake us, that you know all, that you hear all, that you see all. Indeed, Father, that as we yield our lives to you, that you will lead, guide, and direct us. And so, Father, we come in that confidence today. You told us to come into the throne room with confidence and with boldness. And we come with that confidence that you said you have not because you ask not. And so we come today first giving you praise and thanking you for our salvation, for your grace and mercy, for all that you have given to us in this life. But Lord, we come this morning asking you to help us at our points and times of need. Some things are physical. Lord, you've heard these reports this morning about some who mean a great deal to us and how as far as earthly doctors look at things, they think maybe time is limited. But Lord, we know there is no time with you. You're an eternal present, and we know that you can do anything you want to do. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the confidence that these folks have in you and their relationship with you, that indeed you have a plan for them and you have their life charted out and that you indeed are going to help them all along the way. Lord, we want to just continue to give them our support and our prayer along the way as well. Father, we come this morning also knowing that there are situations out there where we have done our best to serve the kingdom, and now it's up to you. We've distributed these curb plates, and we're going to have this Faith Family and Fun Day. And Lord, it's out there to demonstrate to people that you loved us first and that you gave us salvation full and free just for the acceptance of it. And so, Lord, help us to be able to convey that message to our community. Help them to know that God loves them. Help them to know that God cares. And if some of those folks don't know you or don't have a church home or have a strayed far away, help them this to be a time that would draw their attention to you and where you can have a moment where they yield themselves to you. And, Father, we pray that our efforts will make a difference, and we ask for your blessing upon them. Father, we pray for the continuing activities and ministries of this church. We pray for our small groups that will meet tonight, for every location, for every leader, for every host. for every participant, Father, that it'll be great times of fellowship as we bond together. And then continue to bless us here in our services at the church, Lord. And may it all be to your honor and glory. We know that summertime is a busy time. Lord, watch over our people and protect them as they come and go. We pray that you would give them times of refreshment and relaxation. But Lord, most of all, may they come into your house and find a spirit of refreshment here, that there'll be showers of blessing that come on them for being in this place and in this atmosphere, sharing these songs and lifting up praise, looking into your word together. Father, we pray that these will always be meaningful times, and that you will encourage us, inspire us, challenge us, help us, Father. And may we respond with obedient hearts to whatever you speak to us. Father, we pray you just continue to build this great family and your body. And Father, we will give you praise for it all, for you are indeed worthy. We will praise you because you deserve it. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I'm not Bruce, but Bruce was not going to be here this weekend. And so it's interesting that the Lord laid this song on my heart, because Janet, I know, also changed some music in her service and changed to the Potter's Hand in her music this morning. This is a song that we have a little bit of connection to. Most of you are familiar with Sister Evelyn Reed, who is a part of our congregation, also a greeter at Walmart, whose son Gene Reasoner is quite a musician and a talented songwriter. And this is a song that he wrote several years ago that became very popular in the Southern Gospel circles, and it fits that, again, that idea. You know, we had the Potter here not very long ago, and so those things are fresh on our mind, and they speak to our heart. But this is just a reminder that God doesn't give up on us. Sometimes we mess up. The good news is that God loves us, and if we will confess, that he is ready to receive our confession, to forgive, to pardon, and to help us put our life together and stay on track with him. This is a song entitled, "He Didn't Throw the Clay Away." Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again, and I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness, fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus, he didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks. He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and
that makes me into his likeness, fashions the clay, a vessel of honor.
I'm always appreciative of folks bringing me items that have inspired them and allowing them to inspire me as well. And last week, if you were here with us, we talked about where your treasure is, and we talked about the affections that you set your heart on, the things that are significant to you and have value. And I told you about when the break-in happened at Bruce and Debbie's house while they were at Debbie's dad's funeral. That Bruce just came back that day and said, "Hey, it's just stuff. And so I've been trying to work on my perspective about stuff. And in just a few moments, we're going to talk to you about another area of affection that can trip us up. But someone shared this with me, and I thought it was such great wisdom, that kind of transitioning from one affection to another, that I would share this with you, and that perhaps it would help you as much spiritually as has helped me this morning. Every spring, I start stirring my stuff. There is closet stuff, drawer stuff, attic stuff, and basement stuff. I separate the good stuff from the bad stuff, and then I stuff the bad stuff anywhere the stuff is not too crowded until I decide if I will need the bad stuff. When the Lord calls me home, my children will want the good stuff, but the bad stuff, stuffed wherever there's room all along the other stuff, will be stuffed in bags and taken to the dump where all the other people's stuff has been taken. Whenever we have company, they always bring their bags of stuff, and when I visit the people, they always move their stuff so I will have room for my stuff. They clear drawers of stuff so I will have room for my stuff, their stuff and my stuff. It would be so much easier to use their stuff and leave my stuff at home with the rest of my stuff. I had extra closets built so I would have a place for all the stuff, too good to throw away and too bad to keep with my good stuff. I seem to spend a lot of time with stuff, food stuff, cleaning stuff, medicine stuff, clothes stuff, outside stuff. What life would be like without stuff? Hobbies are excuses for getting more stuff. I have stuff in boxes, stuff in closets, stuff piled up, stuff in construction, stuff never to be done, stuff I love just because it's stuff. There's all that stuff we use to make us smell better than we do. There's stuff to make your hair look good, stuff to make us look younger, stuff to make us look healthier, stuff to hold us in and stuff to fill us out. There's stuff to read, stuff to play with, stuff to entertain us, and stuff to eat. We stuff ourselves with the food stuff. There are catalogs in the mail selling things to hold and organize the stuff you already have. And there are malls and stores stuffed full of stuff to sell you. After all, you probably haven't seen or got the latest up-to-date stuff or the latest stuff to keep track of stuff. Wills are written to take care of stuff. Taxes paid because our lives are filled with stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, little stuff, big stuff, useful stuff, junky stuff, and everyone's stuff. The worst or best thing about dying is you can't take your stuff because St. Peter won't let us in with the stuff. So with all of that said, we need to put our affections in the right place. And so where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, I want to move into a little different direction this morning, sort of playing off of that thought. But I want to talk to you this morning, or share with you a sermon that I would entitle One Indulgent Moment. The Army has a motto. That motto is, be all you can be. In my opinion, I believe that should be the motto of every Christian, every follower of Christ, that we would strive to be everything that God has given us the potential to be, and that God will help us to be by the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to address this morning a human tendency that I think stops us from being the best that we can be, although it seems to fit quite naturally into life and stuff. So let me share a couple of passages with you this morning. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." I want you to focus on that phrase that says they are serving their own appetites. And then think also of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Isn't that the way we ended up in the text last week? Their mind is on earthly things. They allow the temporal, what they can see and feel, they allow those things to dictate everything that goes on in their life. That's how they come about decisions and those kinds of things. I want us to look this morning at the issue of indulgence. Indulgence. Uncontrolled personal indulgence in regard to anything. Now, it's interesting because when I think about this word at first, I tend to equate it with excess. But indulgence is not always excess. I can indulge in something in a small measure. I can indulge in something that maybe isn't totally taking control of my life. It doesn't have to be in mass quantities. The word indulge means this: to give free rein to gratify, or to yield to the desire of. To give free rein to. That's scary, isn't it? I mean, yes, Jesus set us free. But you'll find places in the Scripture where it says, don't let your freedom cause you to indulge in the sinful nature. We have appetites. We have things that are a part of our life. Matter of fact, if we try to look at the source of where this frailty, this flaw, this thing comes from, we find in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, these words: "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." Now, we know that when we're born into this life, that we're born with the original sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve, their disobedience, the fall in the garden. So we know that there is an internal foothold that the devil has on us, and that we have this rejection of authority, and we don't want people telling us what to do, and we have it when we're even little small children. We don't like to hear the word no. And so we indulge in our own desires. We give free rein to anything and everything. And part of life is understanding boundaries and rules and things that are not there to keep you from having a good time. They're there to protect us from each other and make sure everybody plays safe. And indeed that we are benefited rather than harmed sometimes by our own activities. So the Scripture says that the majority of these issues that we have start from within our own evil desire. But they also have to do with our own natural appetites, because when we become a Christian and when we strive to live a Christ-filled life, the enemy is around and will always try to help feed things to you that you should not be a part of. And this can be habits and vices. It could be hasty words. It could be temperament. There's a lot of things that we indulge that can get us into trouble. And certainly, while this initiates from within us, the enemy is around helping out. In John chapter 8, and verse 44, we read these words: You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so knowing that there's already this internal foothold that he has by what we inherited from Adam and Eve, this sinful nature, this carnal spirit that resides within us from birth, then the enemy works from the inside out. When we become sanctified Christians and we're filled with the Spirit of God and that carnal spirit is expelled, then the devil works from the outside based on our natural appetites. Hunger, sexuality, the desire for recognition. There's all kinds of things. Those are the very things. We know that Jesus never sinned and he was never sinful. But if you think about Matthew chapter 4, how did the devil approach him? He tried to approach him on some of these fleshly kinds of appealing things. He had been 40 days fasting, so he talked to him about food. There's nothing sinful about food. At least there's not supposed to be. But if we can't control our appetites, if we eat in excess, if we don't control those kinds of things, it can have a harmful effect on our physical and our spiritual health. So we have this thing where we're born with a carnal spirit that gives the devil an internal foothold, and if indeed we're filled with the Spirit and that's expelled, then the devil still approaches from the outside. So the devil is always coming around. And here's his deal. Here's his number one lie. When it comes to personal indulgence, which is simply giving free rein to myself to do something, think something, say something, act in some way that I should not act, the devil will always tell you this. Just once won't hurt. Just once won't hurt. How many people today are living in circumstances because they believed once wouldn't hurt? How many people are paying? I will never forget in one of my previous churches, sitting in my office one day, young couple walks in. I knew them from the community. I was not real well personally acquainted with them, but they had visited our church once, and they came into my office and said, we're thinking about going to church here. And they were boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were in their 20s. And they came in, and they were broken up. They were crying and everything, and they sat down across the desk from me, and they said, we have a problem. I said, what's your problem? They said, we just found out that she's pregnant. Oh, well, you're not married. No, but we just, you know, we've come out of kind of a life of sin, and we just have recently given our heart to Jesus, and so we've come to you because we want you to pray for God to stop this. We want you to pray that God will make it not happen. And I said, I don't think you guys are quite understanding how this works. And I wasn't really speaking about that in the physical sense. I was speaking about that in the spiritual sense to say, while God is gracious and can forgive, and this is what I told him, God can forgive you. But just because God forgives you on the spiritual plane doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change circumstances on the physical plane. So you have to understand that you may have to ask for God's grace to help you correct this thing as you go with it now, but you can't change some things. And see, the enemy is always going to try to get you to think about how you feel and what you want and what's going to bring you pleasure. And he's always going to try to get you to think about right now, and he's going to tell you, once won't hurt. If you lose your temper and say something you shouldn't say, once won't hurt. Yeah, it will. How many of you have had to go back and say you're sorry? And how many of you have got a situation where something happened and you never got a chance to go back and say you were sorry? I've been at many a cemetery on Memorial Day when people were hovering over graves, upset about stuff they said and did, they didn't even get it correct. I've had sessions in my office with people who said, I didn't mean for it to be this way, it's just once. We cannot give free rein to let things happen just once, because for all the myriad of things that there are options to happen, if each of them happens just one time, you can still have a whole boatload of stuff to deal with. Is this a problem that's just in our society? I don't think so. Let me take you back to biblical history. We're not going to take time to read all of these segments of Scripture, but I want to read to you about a fella in Genesis chapter 25. His name was Esau. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished, and he said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." And that is why he also was called Edom. And Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. He went out hunting. He came back hungry. The food smelled good. He gave away the one thing in his life that really had some significant meaning. The birthright as the firstborn son meant he would have a larger portion of the inheritance, and that he would have the dominant position once the hierarchy above him passed away. He would be the prominent person in position for his whole family. If you understand Middle Eastern culture, that goes big, long, wide, and deep. It's a big deal. But that day, coming out of the woods from a hunt, he was hungry. So he gave up all of his birthright to have a bowl of soup. You see a problem here? Self-indulgence. Just one time. But that one time cost him the forever of his birthright. We can go into Scripture this morning. We can go into 2 Samuel chapter 11. There's a very familiar story there. A man named David. David stayed home from war. David was on the palace roof walking around. He looked over to the neighbor and saw the neighbor's wife taking a bath. Decided she looked pretty good taking a bath. Thought she might look even better over at his house. So he sent someone over to get her. She came over to his house. If you read the Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you find out that they slept together. She got pregnant. One time. One time. And y'all know the story. He tried to hide his sin, so he brought home her husband, which was one of his leading generals, brought him home and said, "Hey, listen, I appreciate your work and service. Go in and spend the night with your wife." Thought that'd cover it up. Thought that'd fix the problem. And he said, "There's no way I can come in here and be pleasured by my wife while my men are out on the front line." This guy was a committed, he was a great guy. So he slept on the front doorstep. Well, that's not going to get King David off the hook. So then he says, "Well, send him to the front of the line. Maybe a stray arrow will catch him." Sure enough, they send Uriah to the front of the line, and he gets killed. So what happens then? David just says, "Well, being the nice king that I am, I don't want to make sure that this man's wife is provided for, so I'll just bring her into my fold." Thinks he can cover things up. We know the story. The house of David, there's sin after sin after sin, family member after family member. This stuff just kept trickling down on him because he kept denying that he was the problem. How many times did they sleep together? Once. And then look at Jonah. You can turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1 and read through the first 17 verses, and twice in verse 3 and verse 10, Jonah says, "I'm running from God." We indulge, and our indulgence takes us away from God. He didn't want to go do what God told him to do. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. What you'll find is when you do what you want to do and it's not in line with what God wants you to do, it's always going to take you away from God. Your indulgence will separate you from God. So what's the fix? The fix is this. We must not let our appetites dictate our actions. There's this thing called self-control. Matter of fact, if you look in the New International Version of the Bible, there's at least 17 passages of Scripture where self-control is mentioned. And we all know that if it's left to us in human devices, that self-control alone, just us trying in our human willpower to do something, is not enough. So that's not the complete fix. That's the starting point. And the self-control is yielding. The biggest thing that we do in self-control is yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. To listen to what the Word of God says. We find in Jesus an example when he's praying. He's facing the cross. And we get into Luke chapter 22. In verse 42, we find these familiar words. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Okay, Lord, here's what I want. Here's what I like. Here's what brings me pleasure. But if that doesn't fit into your word and your will, okay, we're not going to do that. Whatever you want for me. Not, Lord, here's what I want to do. Bless this. Lord, here's my plan. Stamp it with your approval. Total yieldness is what do you want? What's your deal, Lord? And I'm in. I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want. Paul gave us admonition in Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. He talked about how this could be accomplished. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And then look over in chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In the King James Version, it says, this is your reasonable service. This is not an unreasonable request that you present your body as a living sacrifice, that you present it holy and pleasing to God, that you do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Yieldedness. We have to submit. We have to surrender. We have to give up. We have to consecrate. You know, it's all about turning loose and giving up control and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and to lead us and guide us and direct us. We must give up the control of our life. The real self-control is giving control to God. That's how we can overcome giving into indulgent moments, where we check in with God first and say, well, you know, what this might maybe go. Think about this. We need to choose we need to not choose the sensual over the spiritual. How many times in life do we kind of know what we ought to do, but we kind of give in to how we feel? We tend to kind of go, well, you know, one time won't hurt, and this is going to feel really good, and so, you know, I give in. Don't choose the present over the future. In other words, what I mean is this. Don't allow the devil to talk you into looking at things only in the short term. Stop and consider with every choice what the consequences might be down the road from here, not just today. What brings you pleasure for a moment might bring you misery for a lifetime. Weigh the odds. Look ahead. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you in discerning these things. If we indeed will look at the long term over the short term, if we indeed will look at the spiritual as opposed to just the flesh, the sensual, then we'll begin to probably think through some things in a right way. And we'll probably make right choices. Matter of fact, I'm reminded, we don't have this passage of Scripture on here, it's just come to me in my mind, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, you know, that every man is tempted the same. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation that's not common to men. And that with that temptation, there is a way out. There it is right there. No temptation to seize you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That pretty much is an assurance that if you really try, you can make right decisions because God will help you. That indeed, if you look at that passage of Scripture and that promise, what God is saying is you don't have to be doing wrong stuff all the time and come back and saying, I'm sorry, over and over and over and over and over. With every temptation, there's a way out. Well, if there's a way out and I don't look for it, then it's not God's fault. And it's not because it can't happen, it's because I chose for it not to. Because I wanted what I wanted more than what I knew was right. Here's the deal. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then over in verses 24 and 25, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The definition of indulgence is to give free rein to. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. When we live the truly committed lifestyle, when we're consulting God first, we don't give in to passions and desires. It's when we're thinking about ourselves and what we want more that we give in to that hasty word or that bad choice or whatever the case might be. God indeed wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to equip us along the way. As we approach the Lord's table this morning, I'm going to ask Pastor Don to come and join me. But as we prepare our heart to receive these elements of communion, let it be a time for us to commit to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, help me to yield my fleshly passions and desires. I know that you sacrificed your body physically on the cross. This is all about your shed blood and your broken body. You made a sacrifice. You chose to come out of heaven and to spend 33 years on earth just so we would have this opportunity to be where we need to be spiritually. If Christ would do that, why can we not make some choices to say, I'll not just go my own way all the time. I'll read God's word. I'll allow God to fill me with His Spirit. I'll seek His leadership and His guidance and direction. And I wish I could tell you, because I believe this is 100% right, but I wish I could tell you I was 100% right myself all the time. Hadn't happened that way. I'm glad He didn't throw the clay away. But I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that what I read in God's Holy Scripture says, if I will think first, if I will pray first, that the Holy Spirit that indwells me will guide me to Scripture, will guide me to know what is right and what is wrong. And I don't have to live a life saying I'm sorry because I listened to the devil's lie to say just once won't matter. And I can make right choices and I can pillow my head at night and feel at peace with God and with my friends and family. And not be trying to figure out how I'm going to fix something that went wrong because I gave in to my own whims. Because I indulged. Paul said in his writings that when we come to this point in this place and time that a man ought to examine himself. And the truth of the matter is we're not qualified to examine ourselves, but what we can do in that yielded spirit is say, Lord, with the searchlight of heaven, examine me. Lord, make me aware. As I look into the face of Jesus, make me aware of my inadequacies, my frailties, my flaws. And Lord, with all of my heart, I just want to lay my life out and yield it to you, that you will guide me and direct me. I just want to remind you in the Church of the Nazarene, because we have some visitors with us this morning, we're not interested in what church you're a member of. We're interested in people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When we have communion together, our communion is open to all who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We invite you and we welcome you to join us at the table of communion together this morning to celebrate Jesus' broken body and shed blood. In just a moment, we're going to have you to stand and we'll pray, and then we'll ask these two sections to make their way into this aisle and come by and receive elements, and these sections to come by and this way. Return to your seats. Hold the elements until we can instruct and all receive together. If Jesus didn't come to earth and didn't shed his blood, have his body broken and die, I'm going to hell. That's just the deal. Outside of what Jesus did, we'll have a shot. But because of what he did, we have every opportunity to to enjoy this life, to make a difference in our own life and the lives of others through His Holy Spirit that lives in us. Don't indulge. Don't give free rein to all that is natural and most times carnal. But indeed, yield to the Holy Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Follow His guidance, His direction. Find that way out. And He will help you to live a productive life and a life that's right and reflective of His image. Stand with me this morning. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And we come to this point in time in the service to celebrate Your body and blood, what You did on the cross, to thank You for Your sacrifice. But first, Father, You said a man ought to examine himself before he takes these elements, and so we pause. We pause to say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I've covered up, hidden, pushed back in the corner, tried to keep in the dark? Lord, if there's anything in me that is not like You, bring it to surface. If there's any activity in this past week, a word that I've uttered when I shouldn't have, a thought that I've had, an action that I've taken, if that is not like You, Lord, bring it to my mind that I might confess it and receive Your forgiveness. For we truly believe that You desire for us to be in right relationship. You're not trying to keep us out of heaven. You're trying to bring us into heaven. You want to touch us, and to forgive us, and strengthen us to overcome. So, Father, we ask You to look within our heart and soul today. Anything that's not like You, bring it to surface that we might confess it, receive Your forgiveness, and be in right relationship. And sit at the table together in joy and excitement, anticipation of Your second coming. We pause for just a moment, Lord, just to speak to You personally. Because we want to be included this morning. Thank You, Jesus, for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your word. And now, Father, as we come to receive these elements, let it be a time of contemplation. And Lord, may it be a time of a fresh commitment to say, Lord, we don't want to give in to earthly desires. We don't want to give in to those passions. Lord, we thank You for the emotions that You've given us, and we thank You for the passion that we feel in relationships to others and those kinds of things. But Lord, may we submit ourselves to Your control this morning. May we be submitted to life in the Spirit. And may this communion, in a sense, be a seal to that commitment today. It'll be an outside sign of our desire to be right with You. To be committed fully. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to come this morning each way and receive the elements. Return to your seat and hold them until we give direction for all to take together. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that somewhere back in time, somebody loved me enough to tell me about Jesus and what he had done for me in the past and what he could do for me in the future. The scripture said, he said, do this in remembrance of me. So when you take, just think about Jesus. Think about his life. Think about his sacrifice. And think about the fact that right now he sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes so that when we indulge and confess, that indeed he speaks on our behalf to the Father. Wouldn't it be great if we could really please him by needing that help less and less? That we indeed would become more like him, completely and totally yielded to the will of the Father, to be all that he wants us to be. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The blood of Jesus that flowed is the atonement for our sins. And indeed, gives us kinship, joint heirs. We are sons and daughters to the King. Drink and be thankful. Go in the grace and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May his countenance shine from your face into the lives of others. May his love flow from your heart to theirs. Be light and salt.